everyone steps up.
Everybody working now. Challenge each other.
We want a fight for the world. Go, go, go. Ready, draw. Let's go.
He plays the maze, baby. Let's get him.
Oh, my pain's out. 60 minutes. Go, man. 60 plus minutes.
Oh, yeah. Love it. The Eagles staying alive with that win in Miami. A little John Travolta for you. Bee Gees, John Travolta. Playoff fever. Catch it here. Hi, everyone. Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live, and the Eagles are staying alive, and that's the theme here. As they get back to work today and prepare for a really, really good New York Jets that comes to, team that comes to town on Sunday. 4:15 kickoff, Lincoln Financial Field. And yeah, the Eagles are staying alive. Staying alive. Staying alive. Merrill Reese is looking at me like I'm crazy. We'll have Merrill on in just a moment here. We want to invite you to give us some phone calls, predictions, talk about the Eagles. Big win over the Dolphins on Sunday. 5-8 now. I know you're disappointed at 5-8, so are we, but the Eagles are trying to keep it going here, and they're going to have to play a really good football game to beat a really good football team Sunday when the 8-5 Jets come to town. We'll have Rex Ryan's conference call shortly. We'll go into the locker room as well. Andy Reid at 11:40 or so will address the media. Some injury concerns that need to be updated, specifically Jeremy Maclin with that hamstring injury. Todd Herriman's a high ankle sprain. Cullen Jenkins a groin strain. And there are some other bumps and bruises. And Darrell Tapp with that fractured rib. I would call him a long shot at best to play this weekend. All of that and more coming your way. Eagles Live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're coming right back.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once. And don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day. Grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
What's up, Eagles fans? This is Trevor Laws. I just want to wish you guys a happy holiday season.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandme.com to learn more. and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We welcome you into the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. Pretty thrilled about beating the Miami Dolphins. I got to tell you, any win is a good win.
Any win is a good win. And this season, they have been so few and far between that it felt very good just to go down there and see the team emerge with a victory.
All right, Merrill, so what was the difference in this Eagles effort producing a victory as opposed to others? I would begin, I guess, on the defensive side of the football.
I would begin that for once the Eagles were they were second in turnovers, not first. The Miami Dolphins were minus three and the Eagles were minus two. And if you look at this season, the turnovers have been the biggest thing. More than any other statistic, the fact that the Eagles, well, they were plus one this week, but on the season they are minus 12. If you look at the Eagles and the Jets, who they're playing this week statistically, there's not a great deal of difference. Sanchez's quarterback rating is 81 point something or 82, and Michael Vick's is 78 or 79. Shady McCoy has rushed for many more yards than Sean Green, who's their top ball carrier. Even the tight ends, Brent Celek has 49 receptions, and Dustin Keller has 47. I mean, right on down the line. But if you look at turnovers, the Jets, not great, they are even. They have given it up and taken it away the same amount of times. The Eagles are minus 12.
It's funny, Merrill. We spend so much time talking about this matchup and that matchup and this scheme and that scheme and X's and O's, and it really comes down to giveaways and takeaways.
It does. More than any other stat, that's it.
Yeah, it's strange. What I liked about the Eagles defense, it seemed to really attack the line of scrimmage. The blitzes got home. I've noticed Juan dialing up a few more blitzes, and the timing seems to be improving. So I'm going to take it as a very encouraging sign that what he continues to say about, hey, it's getting better, it's getting better, that it was good to see the results of that.
Yeah, I felt good seeing that. It seemed to me that they probably blitzed twice as many times in this game than they did in any other game this season, and it worked. And they got the better of the Eagles, of the Dolphins' offensive line. You know what was impressive to me, Dave, that the game started poorly for the Eagles with the blocked punt and the subsequent Miami touchdown. And yet, instead of saying, here we go again, this team just battled back and refused to be denied. I mean, to use a cliche, but they really did some things very, very well.
Merrill, Jason Babin has 15 sacks. Trent Cole has 9. Did a little research last night looking around some of the great defensive end combinations. And I would not put them in this category with Reggie White and Clyde Simmons.
No.
But 92... Clyde had 19, Reggie had 14, a total of 33. So these two are within striking distance of that number, and they really have done an excellent job getting to the quarterback for the most part this season, the two of those players. I mean, Babin really fits very nicely as a pass rusher here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And somebody pointed out that a couple of his sacks have come in critical times of games, like the Giants game, like the fourth quarter of this game. And they've been big. They've been very big.
And in fact, right after the Eagles turned the football over, up 17-7 on Sunday, with that throwback on the punt return, the very next play, Babin sacks Matt Moore, forces the fumble, Mike Patterson recovers, and the Eagles live for another day. And I'm looking forward, Merrill, we've talked about this all year, about let's try to sustain some momentum. This team has not been able to do
that. Dave, that play you just saw, can you rerun that again?
Sure.
Because this is interesting to me. Watch this. I believe there's a penalty on this play. Is this the one where Trent Cole is flagged for hitting the quarterback low? I believe there's a flag.
Yeah, there's a flag here. Yeah.
Flag there.
This
was
a sack, right?
Why? I mean, still gets the sack, but why should that be a penalty? I don't. I understand if you hit the quarterback, you come in with a blow below his knees. But now where you reach out and grab him around the ankles, it's getting so. And I look, what James Harrison did last week with Colt McCoy, hammering him helmet to helmet, that's one thing. But when you look at the fact that you reach out and you grab the quarterback around the ankle and pull him down, it seems almost as if what they are saying is that you can only hit a quarterback in the baseball strike zone.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I think there's no interpretation. There's no leniency for an official to make a judgment call.
It's not as if he's barreling in, hitting him below the knees.
Right.
He's grabbing out, grabbing the one place he can grab the guy to bring him down. That to me, and there's no danger in an injury in a situation like that. That goes too far.
I agree. Darrell Tapp suffered a nasty injury, Merrill. We got to see some Phillip Hunt. He had a sack. I like seeing him. I like seeing young players emerge. What's your feeling on Brandon Graham and kind of what you're looking from him in these next couple of weeks moving into next season? It has just not started for Brandon Graham.
It hasn't, and I'd like to see Brandon Graham show something, produce some positive things and get your hopes up high. But they have said in the past that it takes a full year to get over one of these serious ACL injuries. And he had the microfracture surgery, and certainly he has not been the player that the Eagles thought they were getting when they drafted him. But the true test for Brandon Graham will probably come in 2012.
Yeah. Is it just a matter, Merrill, do you think, of him getting healthy?
I don't know. But that's all we have to go on.
Right.
What we have seen, before he was injured, he did not become overly productive. He wasn't an eye-opener. You didn't say, wow, what a great first-round draft pick. But at the same time, he was a rookie. So I think in all fairness, you have to wait a couple of years to see how a draft works out. And I, with Brandon Graham, I would give him an incomplete.
Okay. Merrill, the Eagles offense has a challenge. And the way I look at it, teams are focused so much on 25, LeSean McCoy, to the point where they are really trying to take him out of the equation and force the Eagles to beat them with Michael Vick's arm. Would you agree that that's kind of what we've seen here?
I think it is, although I don't think the Jets are going to be able to contain Shady McCoy. I think McCoy's going to have a big afternoon against the Jets. Now, whether or not
Why do you say that?
Well, because the Jets are such an aggressive go-for-the-quarterback team that they're going to leave some gaps open. And I just think they're going to overly pursue. And I will bet you that Shady has close to or more than 100 yards this week.
Well, I'll bet you that. I'll make you that bet. I think the Jets are going to come in here and they're going to play 8-man box. And they're going to say, Shady McCoy's not going to beat us. And Michael Vick's going to have to.
Well,
I'd like to bet a sandwich on that.
Okay, that's fine.
Now, if he has 62 yards and then breaks off a 55-yarder in the fourth quarter.
Still counts.
I don't want it to seem like I'm betting against LeSean McCoy.
Still counts. Because basically, they can over-pursue and they can stop him all game. And it's the old Emmitt Smith theory. I used to watch games where the Eagles played the Cowboys, and I'd say, boy, they've really got Smith today. 3 yards, 2 yards, 4 yards, 2 yards, 37.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to be with Shady McCoy. They are going to stop him time and again at the line of scrimmage, but he is going to have his bolts for big yardage.
Do you think Shady needs to get to the next level, whatever that next level is? Stop trying to make hit a home run every time he gets the football?
No, I think to get to the next level, that was last year. He is at that next level. Shady is at the highest level of running back performance in the National Football League.
I asked you this early in the year many times. Is he in the Wilbert, in the Westbrook, in the Ricky Waters category of recent Eagles great running backs?
He is in the Van Buren, Montgomery, Westbrook class. Ricky Waters does not belong in that class.
Ricky Waters had three great seasons.
Yeah, he did, but he's not in that class, in my opinion.
Okay.
A very, very good back.
Deuce Staley?
Very, very good. Excellent. But I'm telling you, these are the four best in Eagles history.
Wow, already?
Yes.
And he's only 23 years old.
Yes,
exciting.
He's that good.
How did you evaluate Michael Vick on Sunday, and what would you like to see from him this week?
I'd like to see him stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I really would. I'd like to see him not take as many hits and not get as many balls deflected, which Andy points out is a combination of offensive line and throwing in lanes, the proper throwing lanes. But I thought it was, I thought he looked good. I thought he had a beautiful pass to DeSean Jackson for the touchdown. I think he had a very, very good pass to Jeremy Maclin, where Jeremy Maclin pretty much pulled up with the hamstring problem.
Right.
Otherwise, he would have caught that in stride. I think he threw a great ball after eluding the rush where he went Riley Cooper. So I think coming back after 3 weeks, there's a little bit of rust, but I think he did fine.
Okay. Merrill, what do you make of the Jets?
They're a good team. They're not a great team. They're a desperate team. I'm just happy that Derek Boyko showed me something this morning that pointed out that it is impossible for the Eagles to be mathematically eliminated before kickoff.
Explain.
Oh, now you're really getting it.
You can read off the sheet.
Okay.
You want me to read off the sheet?
Yeah, I mean, basically what they're saying is assuming the Cowboys, the Giants, the Falcons, and the Bears all win before the Eagles kick off, the possibility would still exist for the Bears, the Lions, and the Eagles to finish 8-8 and tie for a wild card spot. Now, if that happens, under that scenario, the Lions would beat the Bears in a divisional tiebreaker, and it would be a tiebreaker between the Lions and the Eagles for the final wild card spot. That would come down to strength of victory, which depends on how the teams that the Lions and Eagles have already beaten this year do over the next 3 weeks. Now, I hope you got that, because there will be a quiz at the end of this segment.
So
in other words,
the Eagles could still be a wild card team.
The Eagles could still be a wild card team.
All right. But the only way is to run the table here.
Basically. Oh, yeah, they have to. For anything, they have to run the table. But they have to hope for a lot of help.
Yeah, I mean,
It's also possible, and I do have to add this, that the Eagles can win on Sunday. And assuming the Giants and the Cowboys both win their games, by what happens around the league, they could be eliminated from wild card contention. Not by kickoff. By the end of that afternoon, there are some 4 o'clock games that can. I mean, for example, Detroit. Detroit's in Oakland. That would be their ninth win if they beat the Raiders. The Eagles can't.
Okay.
Well, you know, and Atlanta would be a wild card.
Going into this game, the Eagles will be alive. Okay. Good.
Yes.
It's all about staying alive.
Staying alive.
You were laughing when I was singing, and that's really the theme.
Well,
here.
I was laughing at your singing, not what you were singing.
Just at your singing. Thank you.
But look, we arrived here. What was the date? It was still December in 2008.
Yeah.
When 19 things had to happen, and three people in the front row of the press box had to be wearing red ties, and the wind had to be blowing south southeast at 18 miles an hour, and it all happened.
Yeah.
So don't give up yet. It's a long shot. But don't give up yet.
Yeah, no, I just want to see the Eagles play well and beat the Jets.
Me too.
Just taking it week by week.
Same thing.
Let's get some momentum going finally. Let's get this team playing high level, keeping it there, and generating something positive. It's way better to win than it is to lose. That's for sure.
And I enjoy watching Michael Vick line up every game.
I agree.
Every time he's out there, to me, that's worth the price of admission.
I want to see some improvement. Obviously, I want to eliminate the tip passes.
Mm-hmm.
And so does
Michael. Yeah. I mean, there's nobody who
he
works
seemed really
harder.
Bewildered by the tip passes that we spoke yesterday. He had never experienced this kind of repetitive problems.
There are people who say that is the fact that he's only 6 feet tall, but it's not, because as Andy Reid explained to me the other day, you don't throw over people.
Yeah.
You throw through passing lanes. So there's a lot more involved. I mean, I'm not saying you want a 5'8 quarterback, but Michael, with his great mobility and athleticism, is big enough.
Yeah. Merrill Reese, we thank you for joining us in the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. The Eagles and the Jets, 4:15 on Sunday. Make sure you tune into the Eagles Radio Network. And you out there, you can listen live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Merrill Reese and Mike Quick. Merrill, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dave.
We're coming right back.
I can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the Community Relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you, minus my IFB. That's the, what is that? What does IFB stand for? Internal frequency something? My earpiece. Let's go to the telephones here, 215-339-6709. The Zompster in New York joins us. Hi, Zompy.
Spadaro, what's up, baby?
You called me Spadaro.
Yeah, I know. I was waiting so long that I forgot your
What's
name.
The matter for you?
What's the matter? Listen, you're good today, baby.
Yo, tell me why.
About those birds, baby. Ah, listen, man, I'm not going to get too hyped, but I expect a very good game. You know, I mean, this is a very beatable Jet team.
Yes.
I want to see us get pressure on Sanchez. I want to see us dial up some blitzes. Hopefully we get home. But I must agree with you that I believe that they are going to put eight in the box and say, we dare Vic to beat us, especially with Revis on the outside.
This is not a campaign to stop handing the ball off to LeSean McCoy, because I think they still have to, obviously. But I'm telling you that I've seen it against the Patriots, then the Seahawks, and then the Dolphins, and the focus is to crash the line of scrimmage and pinch McCoy and not give him those cutback lanes. And play action is going to have to be big for the Eagles. I'm sorry. The Dolphins did it really well. The Jets are going to do the same thing.
Well, I agree. No, I agree. If you have eight in the box, you have one deep safety. The one good thing is at least Jim Leonard's out for the season. So at least maybe we could take advantage of that.
That's a big loss for them.
Absolutely. And if they have that one deep safety over there, maybe, like you said, play action. But, I mean, what bothers me is, you're going to have Revis probably on DeSean. Am I correct?
I don't know that. I don't know if they flip-flop their guys. Obviously, if Macklin's not healthy, yeah, they're going to put Revis on DeSean.
But with DeSean, I just want to understand, because I just don't understand it sometimes. And okay. This is just in general.
Yeah.
When you have a guy like Revis, he just shuts you down. But DeSean Jackson is so much faster than him. You're telling me one little move, he can't just be gone?
Yeah, well, what, just but, stay but, with him? But what Revis does so well, he comes up and he plays in press coverage, and he disrupts the timing of your route. It doesn't take much to do that. A jam at the line of scrimmage, and you're off your route. So if the Eagles don't put Jackson in motion and he's standing there against Revis, Revis is going to come up and try to muscle him.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You got to put him in motion.
And he closes very, very well, and he's just a really great player.
What is this? I know you don't know yet, but what are the chances? Like, who do you think above everybody? I mean, except for Tapp because of the broken rib. Harriman?
I would think all of them would play.
Oh, okay. Thank God. All right.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. Because, I'm really coming over here because, like I said, my mom gave me an early Christmas gift, and it's like,
That's so nice.
When I got it, I didn't know whether to be happy or sad. Happy because I'm going again, or sad because, I don't want to bring them bad luck. Because usually, like I said, I'm 1-4, but I really want to come see a good game. I want to really get into this game. I really want to smack Rex Ryan. I hate the Jets more than the Giants, but you know me. I hate the Jets. Just want to smack them up, hopefully keep it alive, and hopefully, things go our way. I really want to see us play an outstanding game. I really do. I don't want us to go crack the bed once we play a good game and then, then we're going to,
Yeah, that's been the MO this year. Play a good game, get everybody's hopes up, and then struggle the next week. So it's very important that the Eagles get some consistency going. And to me, it's very mental. It's elementary mental. It's how intense, how focused, how urgent will this football team be? They played with great urgency in Miami. You come out with a 26-10 win. Let's see them repeat that against the Jets. Hey, give me a prediction for the – give me a prediction, Zompster.
I'm going to say 23-17 Birds, and let's go Skins, and let's go Bucks, baby.
You got it, man. Hey, we'll see you on
Sunday.
All right.
All right. All right.
Thank you very much. 215-339-6709. Andy Reid comes along in about 10 minutes. We want to show you this really cool feature that our Eagles television folks have done. We'll get to that shortly, but it's something you're going to want to hang on for. It is an ode to the 1991 Eagles defense that ranked number one across the board against the run, against the pass, and then total defense as well. Bud Carson's group, phenomenal season, especially with Randall Cunningham hurt, the Eagles struggling at quarterback. I remember the season well, dating myself, but we'll have that feature for you shortly. Let's go to Chicago and talk to JR. Hey, JR.
Hey, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, brother?
Man, I'm trying to hope, got my fingers crossed, man, we could pull this out. But what I want to say, my prediction is 21-20 Eagles.
Okay.
And the key to this game is Brent Celek. If we get Celek involved early and often, we got them beat. We just going to shut down Deshaun, and they're going to run, you know, try to get A in the box, and say, as everybody said, Brent Celek is the key to this game.
You know, they really, I thought last week, would try to get the ball to Celek more. He had three catches, I think 39 yards. He made some big plays. He has had a very good season, a bounce-back season as far as I can tell, catching the ball with more consistency. I likened him to Mark Bavaro. He's just, and certainly Gronkowski is the stud of the studs this year, but Celek is just a big, physical, hard-to-bring-down tight end. He's really played well this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it, man. So let's go Birds, man. We can pull it off.
JR, thank you.
Have a good one.
You have a good one as well. 215-339-6709. Let's go to it now. We're talking defense here, and no defense in the history of the NFL played it any better than the Eagles did in 1991, and the names they roll off the tongue, Reggie White and Jerome Brown and Clyde Simmons and Seth Joyner and Eric Allen and on down the line, Andre and Wes, and just a great, great group. Let's take a look. Back in time, the 1991 Eagles defense.
It starts probably in 88 as the collection of talent, the personnel starts to fit Buddy's scheme. And seeing the Bears and thinking about the 85 Bears and Buddy was, you know, a huge part of that. I think that kind of sent us on a path where we need to be that type of defense. We need to be that dominant.
91 season came on there, we're thinking everything's going to be well, you know. As a new head coach, a lot of us didn't agree with the firing of Buddy, and it was pretty much known.
We just came together and basically just wanted to go out and do this for Buddy. We knew that with a new coaching staff coming in that there would be a lot of changes and didn't know how long we would be able to keep it together.
We had gone through learning Buddy's 46 defense, and then after Buddy was fired, Bud Carson came in.
Bud Carson, who was the architect of the steel curtain, along with the aggressiveness of what Buddy Ryan was trying to do, was just like this great marriage and a perfect storm, so to speak.
Very similar in philosophies, you know, attacking the quarterback, creating pressure. Just a few wrinkles different than Buddy would do. There were some things that we didn't really feel comfortable doing, but over time, as we began to see how that defense was just as aggressive and we started to buy into what he was trying to get done.
There was not a question in anyone's mind on that team that we were prepared to win the Super Bowl. We had done everything defensively. We were ready and poised, and Randall was kind of hitting his stride.
For years, the offense had been carrying the defense, and once we kind of figured it out, now we felt like we had some balance. When Randall got hurt, we weren't too enthused about our situation on the offensive side of the ball because Randall was a huge percentage of our offense.
What do we do? I mean, this is our guy. I mean, this is,
the National Football League's poster boy, the ultimate weapon.
We just knew that we could win with our defense. We went out there and we had been winning with our defense.
It was about us sending a message. It was about us instilling intimidation and fear, because if we had to play the Giants twice a year and the Cowboys twice a year and the Redskins and the Cardinals twice a year, we wanted to send a message that we was going to kick your ass twice a year, every year. And if you thought you were hurt the first game, wait to the second game.
That's another throwback from Buddy Ryan. I mean, he was one of those guys that, you know, it ain't bragging if you prove it every week. Defensively, we just like, you're going to take what we give you, and that's it. You take this right here, this little piece of bologna sandwich or chicken sandwich or whatever we're going to give you, and be happy with it. Now, if you want to try and get more, we're going to hit you in the mouth with it.
Third down and 11 for the Oilers. The ball at the 30. Moon under a rush, and the Eagles bury him. They get him as John Booty was blitzing, and he got him along with Seth Joyner.
The House of Pain game was a huge game for us because you had one of the most vaunted passing games in the league against one of the most dominant defenses in the league. Everybody heard about how good we were defensively, and but to see that on Monday night, it proved to the world there ain't nothing to talk about. They is for real.
Moon fumbles the football. It's picked up by Seth Joyner inside the 10. And the Eagles will have a first and goal. Moon with his second fumble of the night. And Seth Joyner, like lightning, reached out and picked it up. Seth Joyner is playing a game of games.
They felt like they were just going to go out there and just dominate us with their passing game. And we took it personal up front.
They sent it out there. They set it up. They wanted this physical matchup. They wanted to see who the tougher defense was. So they challenged us.
They had some receivers that was talking trash.
We're going to score. We're going to run this ball up and down the field. We're going to do all the things that we do. Yeah, it doesn't matter how good you are.
We get to the game, and Wes kind of just started us off with this great explosive hit across the middle on one of the receivers. And the guy, I remember looking over him, and nose bleeding, and his nose was flint the other way. We're kind of looking at this guy and then looking at the sideline saying, you know, to their defense, you put this on your guy, and it's going to be like this all night long.
Boone takes his drop. He surveys the field over the middle, completes to Drew Hill, who fumbles the football, and it's recovered by Wes Hopkins. He rolls. He has time. He fires, completes the pass, and the football is jolted loose and recovered by Otis Smith. Boone takes the ball, and he is being hit, and Seth Joyner is pulling for the football, and they flatten Moon back inside the 10. Seth Joyner has just been outstanding in this game.
We knew they were a finesse team, and Buddy taught us, he said, you know, the way you beat a finesse team is you hit them in the mouth, because they don't like the physical nature of the game. You know, they try to beat you with trickery, they try to beat you with the quick pass and all that kind of stuff. He said, but if you batter them, they will fold up the 10. There's people that walk in a fight, and then there's people who, you know, sneak into a fight. We wasn't one of those ones that snuck into place. We came in there, you asked for a fight, you're gonna get one today. When you look statistically at what we did to that offense and what they had done to everyone else leading up to that game, I mean, it was unbelievable.
And the Eagles have it! Does Clyde Simmons come up with the football?
When we return, we continue our look back at the 1991 Eagles defense.
Comes away from one man and they get him again!
Portions of this program are brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the official wireless provider to the Philadelphia Eagles. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the official hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles. And by PhiladelphiaEagles.com, all day, every day.
The swagger came from everyone having each other's back. If I bust a coverage and the guy's open, but the quarterback gets sacked, and you know, you go back to the huddle and you give a high five to Clyde or Reggie because they had your back.
When we were off the field, we were constantly together, so it was like we were never apart, and it was like a brotherhood there.
Buddy understood the importance of unity. He was all about figuring out ways to, you know, bring us together and bond us. We ate together. We bowled together.
those that play golf together.
And we would all go to Florida, be a part of Jerome Brown's camp. We'd go to Tennessee and be a part of Reggie White's camp.
What he was trying to do was to keep us together as much and as often as he could. When you create that kind of camaraderie, now it's not all about me when I play, but I'm playing for those 10 guys around me. If you're going to fight my brother, you're going to fight me.
And once you get those things, you understand that, hey, it's more to it than just, you know, lining up an X and O's. It's a family that you got to care for each other.
Bakeman strike back. He steps up, and then he takes a hit, and down he goes, sacked by Jerome Brown.
Those kinds of games are the ones that are, like, etched in your mind.
From what I can remember, there was a lot of trash talking going on before that game. I think Michael Irvin had made the comment about we had some midgets back there or something, that he was going to do all this against our defense.
It was almost like the perfect day. We always felt like we were going to beat Dallas. We always felt like, you know what, we're going to play dominant against them.
Aikman looking downfield. He's setting up, and he's sacked again. They've got him. And this time it's Golic. They are making mincemeat of the Dallas offensive line.
The next thing you know, Troy's running for his life. They can't protect him against, and we haven't even blitzed yet.
We showed him so many different looks, he didn't know where to go with the ball.
He started just kind of throwing the ball up at that point, you know, so guys are fighting over interceptions.
Aikman under the gun, floats the pass, and it's intercepted by Mayano. Mayano gets up, runs across the 50, and he's tackled at the 46-yard line.
We just dominated them in every way possible that you could dominate them.
Troy Aikman backs up. He's hemmed in, and they get him again. They get him again, and this time it is Clyde Simmons with his fourth. If he isn't NFC Defensive Player of the Week, I don't know who is.
Sacks were coming everywhere, you know, and Reggie, our leader of the team, he was like,
man, we don't go get mine. You know, we don't go get mine.
Aikman again, looking over the middle. Comes away from one man, and they get him again. Here they get him again, and this time it's Reggie White.
Every defensive lineman who played that day got a sack.
Aikman again looks downfield. He's hit again, and the football comes loose, and the Eagles are on it. As Aikman has been sacked for the 11th time today, the sack went to Mike Pitts.
11 sacks? I mean, Clyde had four of them by himself. I remember that.
We sacked him 11 times, but we hit him probably a 15 or 16 times.
I can remember hitting Troy and hearing him just squeal, you know, like a little girl. And that was worth 10 sacks by itself.
Those are the kind of things that, you know, you take pride in and you say, hey, that day, I was pretty good.
It was just a great defensive day, and one of those days where on a bad day, you're slipping the tape and you watch that game, and afterwards you're feeling all right.
Back at Texas Stadium, where the Eagles have blasted the Dallas Cowboys 24-0. When you talk about the Eagles' defense today, they were awesome. So totally dominating. A defensive performance that included 11 sacks, the most in club history.
The four defenses I think people talk about the most is the 85 Bears, probably the 86 Giants, the 2000-2001 Ravens, and probably us. Up front, you can have an argument that the Eagles' front was the best of all of them.
If we won a Super Bowl, there's no doubt in my mind that they would be talking about us as one of the top two or three defenses ever.
That was the most disappointing part about it. We didn't feel like we accomplished everything that we had set out to do, and that was to get into the playoffs and go on to win the Super Bowl.
I look back each Super Bowl. It's annually. You think about the missed opportunities.
It was disappointing, very disappointing. We felt like we should have been in the playoffs. Unfortunately, we lost some games.
I always thought if we got to a championship game, defensively, we would get ourselves to the Super Bowl. Every Super Bowl Sunday, you make the phone calls and the what ifs, and it's still really difficult for me because, unfortunately, I wasn't able to play in the Super Bowl. And I know Seth was, but again, you talk to Seth and it's not the same.
That ring, is it a prized possession of mine? Absolutely, because it's always been a career goal of mine to win a Super Bowl. It does not carry the same weight that it would have had it had an eagle on it. And I shared it with Jerome Brown and Clyde Simmons and Eric Allen and Byron Evans and Wes Hawkins and all the boys.
It was a bittersweet year because you remember what ifs.
like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Eagles fans, this is guard Evan Mathis. I wanted to wish you all very happy holidays. Bah humbug.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
This bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy.
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access. Redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
We take a look in the auditorium. Hey, there's Sal Palantonio. It's a possible Eagles Nightly guest. Who knows? Maybe he'll show up tonight on Eagles Nightly. Take a look at the auditorium here. Good crowd all hand, the New York media here. And we'll hear from Rex Ryan shortly. First, we're going to hear from Manny in Miami, who made Spudcam. I know that was a career highlight for Manny in Miami. Hi, Manny.
Hey, Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you? You calm down after your impressive show on Spudcam? Showing us
my
the guns?
My girlfriend actually said that she's never seen me like that ever, and okay. Since she's a big Patriots fan, she just looked at me in the face and said, I don't want you ever going on there again.
Hey, you know what? Just put her in her place, man. Sorry, if you don't like the way I am around the Eagles, then don't be around me, sister. Get out of here.
Exactly my point, but I'm about to be a proud dad in 5 months, man.
Congrats.
So I don't want to do anything to, you know what I'm saying,
get her all
in a bad mood or nothing.
Congratulations, so, man.
But overall, man, it was a great day, man. It was awesome to finally meet you and the guys, you know what I'm saying? It's because we've been talking for 4 or 5 years, man, so it's actually quite a game. And the only thing I thought that I kind of, like, wasn't really happy with was on the play where
Daryl Tapp got hurt?
Yeah, our end got hurt. Mark Colombo, what a cheap shot. Because
yes,
I'm right there, and I'm watching the whole thing. And Tapp, he caught his foot, and then Colombo comes and just pushes him on the side. And then you just see the way that Tapp just bended his side or something.
It was painful to watch. And I don't know if that was Colombo or the other kid who replaced Jake Long. I'm not sure who. I don't think
Well, then it was either Mark Colombo or it was Gardner. But either one of them, those are some cheap shots, man. And I hope the league actually looks at that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because the play was over.
Yep.
I mean, the guy is just pissed that he couldn't block nobody. And all of a sudden, boom, here's a guy whose foot is, you know, his thing is just stuck on the turf. You know, but overall, it was an awesome day. I mean, I felt like I was at the link, bro.
it was amazing how many Eagles fans there were. I thought it was 50-50, Manny. I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I know that some Dolphin fans, they left at halftime.
Yeah. Hey, give me a quick prediction. Andy Reid walking up to the podium.
I say Eagles win, Dave, 24-17.
All right, Manny. Thanks so much.
All right, Dave. Thank you, man.
Good to meet you. Andy Reid at the podium.
All right, injuries. Michael actually did the walkthrough, and through his ribs are a little sore. We'll just see how things go here for today's practice. Todd Ehrman's with a sprained ankle likewise. Did the walkthrough. Cullen has a slight groin strain. He did the walkthrough. And then Macklin with a hamstring strain, he did the walkthrough. And really the only one that was limited for the walkthrough was Daryl Tapp. And he was out there, just he didn't do anything. Everybody else is good and ready to go, and we'll just see how those other guys do this afternoon. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Jets. Obviously a good football team, particularly over the last few years here. So they've got great personnel in offense, defense, and special teams, and we've got a dynamic coaching staff. So it'll be a great challenge for us. We look forward to bringing them into Lincoln Financial Field and the opportunity to introduce them to our fans. Time's yours.
More sore now than he was at this point a week ago after the game? Is that why you backed off a little?
He's a little tender from the game, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not as bad as, nothing like. He was throwing the football out there and all that, so, yeah.
Pretty confident that he'll be all right to play, though, right? There's no question that he wouldn't be able to play this week.
Mm-hmm. Steve Smith, you guys spent a lot of money on him. There was a lot of question coming in whether that knee was, whether he'd be ready to go. Any regrets about the way the whole thing evolved? And do you look back and say maybe we just shouldn't have made that kind of commitment to a guy coming off microfracture?
No, listen, we knew it normally takes about a year to get yourself back, and Steve worked through it and gave us some good downs, and he's going to be fine down the road. I don't think this is a setback by any means for him. He's going to be fine for the upcoming year and mini camps and everything else. So,
if I'm not mistaken, you gave him a 1-year deal. Yeah. So it was really about performing this year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, he gave us some good downs this year. Yeah. In particular, when Jeremy was not feeling too well early. So.
He caught 11 passes. And he made $2.2 million for the year. I mean, you don't have any regrets about the whole thing?
No.
Why center Jordan?
Well, he's a good young player, so and he's worked his tail off for the opportunity to be moved up, and so that's why we did it. Yeah.
What's the prognosis for Michael to practice this afternoon?
Well, we'll see. It looks, he did everything this morning, so I think he'll probably be okay.
Taff can't play. Last week he had Graham and Parker inactive. Which of those guys do you think he would move up and have them play?
Listen, I'm going to just take it day by day and just see how they do. That's what we did last week, and that's why we activated Hunt. So we'll just we'll see how they do this week. I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of snaps out of Tap. So we'll just see how the other two go.
Invested in Graham, and he's been able to play at least a couple of games. What's holding him back right now from getting on the field some more?
Well, just continuing to get better. I mean, that's he's coming off major surgery, so he's had some good snaps. We backed him up a little bit, and then and now he's working his way back up. I thought he did a good job last week. He looked better last week, in particular at the beginning of the week, than he had the week before.
Prepare for a cornerback like Darrell Revis, who you're not sure who he's going to cover. Usually he sticks a one receiver a game. Do you kind of guess and figure he'll go on Sean or something like that? Or how do you handle that usually in a week of practice?
Well, you flip your receiver. So even if they don't flip their corners, he's going to, Deshaun will be going against them. Jeremy will be going against them, so on. So you don't worry too much about that. You go about your business and make sure that the routes aren't going to change according to who's covering you. And I'm not taking anything away from him. He's one of the best corners in the business. So if they do match him up, though, to answer your question, that's okay. You know, and then if they go right and left, you're still going to have to play against them.
How much more improved does your offense have to be going in? You know, the Jets are a pretty good team. You guys have struggled the last few weeks. I mean, is this, you're going to have to score points to beat this? Is that the fair to say?
Well, to win a game, you got to score points. So we've got to, you know, you got to score more than what they do. And
better offensively than you have been if you want to win.
Yeah, we have room to improve, in particular in that second half. We have plenty of room to improve.
With Rex Ryan over the years?
I've had a good relationship with him. He's a good guy. He has some ties to the Eagles and always has taken interest in that, as his brother has, and his father. So.
You did well against his brother's defense. Are there any similarities? Is there anything that you could take from that game against Dallas and use against the Jets?
Well, they share ideas, I'm sure, and they do some of the same things, but not. They both have their own little wrinkle to their defense. It's not exactly the same. It's not exactly the same as their father's. And some of that is they work, and they're both very good coaches, and they work with the personnel that they have and try to exploit the strengths of the players that they have on their rosters.
Mike didn't throw an interception last year until the Chicago game. I think maybe a seventh star or something like that. And he's only had two games since then that he has not thrown one, the Rams game and Dallas this year. What's changed as far as what he's doing to get picked off more?
Well, you know, you give credit to some of the credit to the defense, in particular on the tip balls. And then we just keep working. We keep working on fundamentals and you know, so that's what you go about doing. But,
do you think he's forcing more throws, anything like that during that stretch?
Well, possibly in some situations, you know, to get things going. There might be a time when you tell you he's trying to make something happen, but made a lot of good throws too. So.
Andy Rex was asking his relationship with you, and he described you as having a great sense of humor, fun to be around, you don't take yourself too seriously, and you're smart. Accurate.
Well, you guys can tell all those things are true by these press conferences.
You said you're extremely handsome too, just like him. You go along with that?
Whatever floats, I'm good with.
He painted it as a relationship with not only mutual respect, but he seemed to genuinely like you. Is that feeling?
Yeah, that's mutual. Yep. He's a good guy.
Kind of. You've always gone out of your way to praise the fans and the fact that you have a great home field advantage in both seasons. Have you been able to pinpoint why you haven't had that success at the rink this year yet?
Listen, we just need to do better as coaches and players. I mean, that's really what it is. There are no, I don't think there are any secrets to it. It's we've just got to play better and coach better, you know, bottom line.
Pretty nice game. How do you keep that consistency? It hasn't really been there all year.
Keep working your fundamentals. Keep working the game plan. Keep working as coaches. Make sure you put the players in the right position. And that's what we do.
Rex was talking about his guys and saying, you know, Darrell Revis is the best corner. He says it's not even close. He's very boastful like that, whereas you tend to be a little more modest about your own team. What's the philosophy behind that for you?
Well, he should feel that way. That's his guy. And so you know, I told you that about our guys. So I've that's how it goes. And unfortunately, I've got a couple pretty good ones. So really, three or four good ones. So I'm very fortunate.
Hey, and you guys did something.
What you guys did in the Miami game, defensively and even on offense in that second quarter. How much can you look at that and say, tell your guys this is what we need to do the rest of the way to?
Yeah, listen, we need to get better. There are things we can learn from that second half, really throughout the whole game. I mean, we didn't start the game as well as we wanted to either. So, but we did some good things in certain situations, And then there are some things that we can learn from, and that's what we do. We're going to continue to try to get better and be able to score more points.
Some of the blitzes that you had, where you would have 5 or 6 man rushes. I mean, you had some stand up linemen. You did some more exotic things. Is that stuff that you wanted to do earlier, but had too many moving parts, or is that just kind of the guys getting more comfortable now?
Yeah, I think it all evolves, and we did a little bit of that in training camp and worked it and. Did it early in the season a couple times, but I think that's a twofold question there. But we've done it before, but yet I think the guys are also becoming more comfortable in the defense, particularly the new guys.
There's much ado made about whether he kept it more to block earlier in the season. Is he going out more? Or is it has something to do with the fact that there's receivers injured? Is it to do more with the fact that he's playing better? Can you kind of explain?
Yeah, I just think the way things are working out coverage-wise and then the plays we're dialing up for him are give him a better opportunity to make plays. I think he's always been a good player. He's still blocking well and doing that in the pass and run game, but he's also doing a nice job in the catching the football.
Michael's season... obviously, he's 31 years old. And he's a veteran quarterback, but this was the first off season that he was the Eagles' starting quarterback, and you weren't able to do anything with him. Has that affected his season at all?
I don't think it has. That's a tough question because throughout the National Football League, you've seen certain situations where. In particular on the defensive side of the ball, the teams have been affected. But I would tell you that I don't think that's the case. But, again, every rep that he could get in this offense is a good rep. So,
yeah. And there you go. That is head coach of the Eagles today, or at least through the walkthrough. They welcome back. Todd Harriman's and Jeremy Macklin and Cullen Jenkins. Everybody's good to go. Daryl Tapp sounds like a major question mark for Sunday against the Jets for practice this week. But good news on the more to go here on Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. We take some phone calls. Your predictions all coming up straight ahead on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
The official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. It's Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, 215-339-6709. The number, Andy Reid, with some good news on the injury front as we take a look at the headlines. Vic, Macklin, Harriman's, Jenkins all participate in the walkthrough this morning. Now, will they practice this afternoon? Maybe not. But the intention there is that those players will suit up on Sunday. Vic with the rib sore after taking some hits on Sunday in Miami. Macklin with that hamstring injury that tightened up on him against the Dolphins. Harriman spraining his ankle against the Dolphins. And Jenkins with a groin strain. So barring any setbacks, those guys good to go against the Jets. Darryl Tapp, only player limited this morning. Cedric Thornton added to the active roster. Same with Hamler, wide receiver, added to the practice squad. A lot to catch up on tonight, Eagles Nightly at 7 o'clock. Let's go. A feature that we have that we'd love you to take part in right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com/top5. Pick your top five plays of this 2011 season, and you could win big, some tickets, some signed swag. Do it, and do it now. Pick your top five plays of 2011, PhiladelphiaEagles.com/top5. Joe in Wisconsin joins us. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Happy holidays to you, Joe.
Hey, same to you.
Thank you.
And to your family.
Thank you.
So,
you too.
You think the Eagles are going to win this week, huh?
I'm always confident going into games, Joe. Do not?
No.
Tell me why.
Not this year.
Tell me why.
I think it's been a disaster defense. I did hear Merle's comment about Shady, and I believe they're going to defend Shady and put eight in the box. And
run blitz. I think they're going to run blitz. Right. I think they're going to crash the line of scrimmage. Blitz,
and I believe that's what they're going to do. And Vic, to me, will try to scramble, but when he's moving, he's getting balls knocked down all over the place. And to me, this is, in my opinion, Michael Vick is not a complete quarterback.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think he's the right quarterback for this team, and neither is Vince Young. I think we need to start and rebuild and get new blood in here and change our offensive philosophy with all this pass stuff.
Well, it's with the pass stuff, Joe. Look around the league. Tell me who doesn't pass and who wins. Please do that for me.
Okay. There's Baltimore has a good balance in run and pass.
Okay. That's one team.
The other team. When he's running, Houston.
Houston.
And they got their two good running backs, and they're running the ball effectively.
Well, that's not the question. The question is not effectively. It's what offense is not a quote unquote pass first offense?
I think it's Houston and Baltimore.
Okay.
San Francisco.
San Francisco's offense stinks. Come on, be
honest. I know, but
they're winning with defense.
They're winning with defense.
We're talking.
We don't even have a defense to win.
Hey, Joe, but that's not the point. The best offenses in the league, the Saints, the Packers, the Steelers, the Patriots. What do they? How do they attack? What do they do? They throw the ball or they run the ball?
They pass the ball, Dave. But look at their receivers and look.
The Eagles' receivers aren't good.
No, what I think is the problem, and then this is what I observe on my end, is you got Vic, who is a shorter quarterback. You got receivers that
Drew Brees is Drew Brees is every bit the size of Michael Vick.
Yeah, but look at Drew Brees' receivers. They're all 6 foot and up.
And I will tell you, I think Drew Brees is a more accurate, consistent quarterback than is Michael Vick. I'll tell you that.
I agree. Drew Brees is a much better, more accurate quarterback, but he stands back there, and he's got bigger receivers, and he, for whatever reason, he finds the throwing lane.
Yeah,
Michael Vick doesn't.
Michael Vick needs to work on that. There's no question about it. The tip passes
are reverts back to him at Atlanta.
But we're not. But the point here, Joe, is it's this, the continued labeling of the Eagles' offense as pass heavy, which it is, like that's something that everybody in the league's not doing. It is what everybody in the league's doing. You throw the football, and the reason the Eagles' offense is not as productive this year as in past seasons is that the pass offense is not as productive. The pass offense has not been as effective. the pass offense has turned the football over too much. Now, so they got to run the football more effectively, yes, but teams are going to come in now and take the run away.
Okay. But
try to, anyway.
Okay. Now, if you look back at this season, well, we always score all our points in the first half, and very rarely do we score over
three to maybe
a touchdown in the second half.
Right.
So what happens to our offense?
It goes
away.
Yeah, it goes away. It's been terribly inconsistent. I agree.
And that's very discouraging for myself as a fan of 40 years or more, since the mid-60s when I started following the Eagles. I mean, it just drives me nuts. And, you know, to me it's inconsistent. It needs to be – I just don't believe in Michael Vick as the starting quarterback of this team.
Okay. And I'll say it'll be interesting to see what the Eagles do at quarterback in the offseason. Vince Young, you would think, would not be back. So
I hope
not. What are you looking for at quarterback? Do the Eagles draft one? Do they sign one? Do they go with Mike Kafka?
I think they have to go out and draft a quarterback and spend the next year and rebuild the offense. And we go through 1 year of
Well, I think the offense, boy, they did a lot of rebuilding of the offense this year. I hope they don't have to rebuild more next year because
what
the
I'm
offensive
talking about,
line.
Quarterback and we need a faster, bigger wide receiver. One big guy.
Okay.
Riley Cooper is fine. He's tall, but he's not
so
that guy.
Here's a question, Joe, and we're going to get your prediction. If you were to list the top, you're going into the draft clean, okay? Top three positional priorities. What are you drafting?
First, I'm going to draft a middle linebacker for the defense.
Okay.
I'm going to draft a safety that's got some speed and can hit and get not afraid to stick their head in there and make tackles. And then I'm going after a wide receiver that's got some speed and is 6'6", 6'2", 6'3".
Okay. Well, more than I don't want to
out of Oklahoma State.
Okay, so you're the guy who's 27, Whedon or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
So
Blackburn or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Blackman. Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking quarterback.
No.
So your fourth priority might be quarterback. So you're going to draft a quarterback you got a couple extra picks maybe in the third round.
Yeah. Then I'm going to start with the quarterback. I mean, you know, we got so many holes in this team, it's hard to look at it, but that's where I'm going if I'm drafting. We got decent defensive line. We don't have that big dominating middle linebacker or safety. And then
I think we'd all agree with that. We'd all agree that the Eagles need to be better in the back seven of their defense. No question about it. All right, Joe, thanks. Give me a prediction for the game.
21-17 Jets.
Well, we can't take Jets predictions.
Okay, well, switch it around then.
All right. Come on, Joe.
All right.
Where's your holiday spirit? Thanks for the call.
All right, bye.
All right. 215-339-6709. What's that? Oh, yeah. Rex Ryan meeting the media. Why not? Want to take a phone call first? Yeah, let's do it. Is there one in there? Yeah, let's do a phone call first. Then we'll get to Rex Ryan. Sexy Rexy meeting the media. As you know, each week the head coaches have conference calls with the Philadelphia media. This week it was Rex Ryan's turn to regale the Philadelphia writers and our crew as well. Shannon in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Shannon.
Dave, how's this dude going to say he is an Eagles fan for 40 years and then pick the Jets?
Because he's upset with the team.
That just blows me away, man. God bless him, man. But, I mean, he'd be the same guy we won't hear from. If we win the next three games and sneak in the playoffs, you won't hear from him until next year.
No, Joe's not that guy. Joe is a very loyal listener and a very frequent caller. And
I mean,
I just sense that he's
upset.
For
40 years and you picked the Jets?
He's just upset at the team.
Okay, I'll take it. He's upset. Man, listen, I'm upset too, man, but I'm always, I don't care who we're playing. I don't care if we play the Green Bay Packers this week. I'm gonna pick the Birds, man.
Well,
that's
the only picks that we take. All right, I'm not giving away anything for other teams.
No, man. I think we're gonna have Mark Sanchez on the run because I think the defense is picking up. Not too many people are talking about Phillip Hunt, man. I think he did a decent job, don't you think, Dave?
Yeah, I do. I think he played very well, and we'll see what kind of reps he gets this week.
Yeah, man. Let me give you my prediction, then I'm going to break some things down. 28-10 Birds. I'm going to tell you that right now. Eagles.
Let's do it.
Now, listen, Dave, the guys who Revis sticks, they're mostly big guys, right, most of the time?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think this may be DeSean Jackson's come-out game, man. I think he may have a big game against, I know it sounds crazy, against Revis because he is used to jamming those guys, but DeSean, he has a way, man. I think DeSean may be, it'd be good if Macklin's in there, but I think DeSean may have a big night.
I hope so. I think Stevie Johnson from the Bills, not a big guy, had a pretty good game against the Jets, scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I think every receiver wants to go against a great cornerback like Darrell Revis. There's no denying that the guy is a tremendous football player. You have to be at your very, very best to compete with him. He's physical. He's smart. He's athletic. He does all the right things. He challenges receivers. He's not afraid to take chances. He's a complete player. He tackles well. He does it all. So yeah, it'll be a great matchup. Eagles have two outstanding wide receivers, and they're going against a good secondary.
Yeah, man. But like they said, what's the name? Leonard. He was like the QB of the defense, so that's a big loss for them.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Another thing, man, if we can get Mark Sanchez, you know, normally I would say, oh, man, we got a big task, which is true because we have Plexico and we have San Antonio Holmes, but if we could get Mark Sanchez, unraveled, man, I think, you know, they're non-factors when you take the quarterback out of the game, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Eagles have to get to Sanchez. They've got to stop the run. They really have to play with that kind of energy that they played with on Sunday in Miami. Shannon, thank you, buddy.
All right, have a good one now.
You too, man. All right, let's go to Rex Ryan. He met the media and talking about the Eagles and the Jets on Sunday.
Hey, Rex, can you just talk about your defense? Are you getting everything you want out of your defense at this point in the season?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, we're not happy where we rank right now or whatever, but, I think, let's see, we're 6 in the league in defense, so I think that's a little below – our standards, but, we got to head in the right direction and you want to be strongest at the end of the year. I think we're playing pretty good right now. We'll see how we close this things out. Obviously we're going to be really tested this week going against against the Eagles and, the playmakers that the Eagles have, but, it should be a heck of a game.
I saw a report that there might have been a little conflict between you and your defensive coordinator, Mike Pettin. Can you talk about maybe your relationship with him and how that's kind of evolved this season?
That's the first I've ever heard about it. There's a conflict between – are you kidding or
– just something I had heard. Now, what is your relationship with Mike?
Well, I don't like him. One bit. So maybe there's a lot of truth to that one. That's the most ridiculous comment I've ever heard. I mean, Mike and I are like brothers. We've been brothers for years. We had, I think we've probably been together for 10 years, and there's absolutely no, problems with us. It sounds like somebody wants him to be their coordinator or something, but he's our coordinator.
Rex, what stands out about this Eagles offense that's going to make it difficult to prepare for?
Well, Michael Vick's the number one guy. That's what jumps out. Nobody has him. There's only one Michael Vick in this league. Dynamic playmaker, can make all the throws, strong arm, and obviously the way he can move, is second to nobody in this league. So he's the first guy, and then you got McCoy. Every time he touches it, it looks like a punt return. So you got to do a great job. I think he's, 30 yards away from being the league leader in rushing. Obviously, he is a tremendous player. And then you got DeSean Jackson. I mean, they got plenty of weapons. But you know what? We have plenty of weapons on our defense, so this is going to be a great matchup.
Rex, your dad is an icon in Philly, as you know. And Andy Reid, on the other hand, doesn't exactly resonate necessarily with all of the fan base. For somebody that's seen it, you know, certainly from a firsthand perspective, can you address that? Why you think that might be?
I'm not going to get into all that stuff. I'll just say this: that you know, it was great the years my dad had in Philly. I think you're right. The fans really did identify with him. He was himself, and I think the fans really appreciated that. I think he wished he would have had a couple more years to, you know, maybe get the Eagles over the top there. But, really it was they put together one heck of a football team, and I think the fans appreciated the way they played. You know, they might not win every game, but they were going to beat you up every game, and that's pretty much how the Eagles were. All I can say about Andy Reid is he's a perennial winner. I mean, the guy's a great football coach.
Rex, as a defensive-minded coach, what do you make of the Eagles' pass rush, especially Babin and Cole on the outside and what they've been able to do this season?
Yeah, they do a great job rushing the passer. I mean, there's no question. That defensive line really rushes the passer well. And, Babin's just, and Cole too. I mean, both those guys are relentless type, edge pass rushers, and they get after it. There's no doubt about that.
Coach, did you talk to your dad about when he was honored by the Eagles at halftime earlier this season?
I absolutely loved it, and just a class act, classy thing to do by, Jeffrey Lurie. I know one thing, he'll never forget it, and he certainly appreciated it, and I appreciate it as well.
Rex, were you around those teams much when your father coached them?
Oh, yeah, I was there all the time. Actually, would come back and if I had some off time or whatever, I'd work in the airport, there in Philly. So I was around a lot of those guys and really just around Philly. And I thought it was great. I loved it.
Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Mike Pettine and how that friendship has developed over the years?
Well, we don't have a relationship anymore. I'm still blown away by that question, but the first one. But Pettine has been, it's great because when he came to Baltimore, he actually came in to put in like a computer, like switch from whatever something to a Mac to a PC and all that type of jazz. Worked in the video and all that kind of jazz, and I like to credit myself because I was the first one that started talking to him. Our backgrounds are very similar. Both come from coaching, icons and legends, whatever. His dad was a tremendous coach in Pennsylvania and a legendary coach. And the more I talked to him, the more I realized this guy was, really sharp. So I had him. He helped me a bunch putting presentations together. And then the next, when I was a defensive line coach, and then when I got elevated to a coordinator, we had a quality control job open. He took that, was an outside linebacker coach, and then I knew when I got a head coaching job that he was going to be my coordinator. And we've been together for a number of years, probably 10 years, and he's going to be a star in the coaching business. There's no question. And it just, it won't be long before he's a head coach. And, Dennis Thurman, our secondary coach, who I know the Eagle fans will hate because he played for Dallas for 9 years. I hate him because he did that also, but I love the guy. He's, us three have been together really for 10 years and, you can't be closer than we are.
Hey, Rex, who's Revis going
to
be on?
Whoever we decide to put him on, and that'll be a long day for that individual.
Do you typically, though, just put him on a receiver and say, go get that guy and shut him down the entire game? Or do you ever drop him into zones, ever use him in other types of coverage?
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. A lot of times we'll lock him down, but other times we'll let you think he's locked down one-on-one, and then we'll trap you. So that's the only reason he's got interceptions this year, because usually he's locked in a man coverage. But, we'll run an occasional trap with him, and when we do, he's a ball hawk. So, a lot of times we'll do a lot of disguise, show you one thing, and do it for seven plays in a row and all of a sudden run a trap. But he is a tremendous corner, the best corner in football. It's not even close. And, the way we play him,
it's unlike anything that's happened in the history of the league. A lot of times we'll match him on the best receiver and still lock him on man coverage the entire game by himself. So I think that's never been done. You know, a lot of times you can put your best corner on the second best receiver. Well, we lock him on the best receiver, and I think that's what separates Revis from anybody else, is that he'll take that challenge almost, you know, on a weekly basis.
I'm sure you're kind of aware of all the struggles of the Eagles this year. Do you feel like this team is better than a 5-8 team that they've showed all season, despite you looking at film and all that?
I can tell you this. I'm watching their talent. That doesn't look like a 5-8 team. I mean, they're fourth in the league in offense and 11th in the league in defense. So that's, you know, the numbers don't make sense right there. I know, you know, but they've had some, you know, some struggles, whatever it is. I'm going to tell you this. That's a very dangerous team. It's a very potent team, and they probably have as much talent as any team in this league.
How much is your time in Philly as a kid? How much did that help you when you got to New York, knowing how to deal with the media and the big spotlight and all that kind of thing?
Well, I just think that, you know, growing up, I had a huge advantage, as would any kid, that, you know, the father's, you know, a lifelong coach in the National Football League. I was ball boys for a number of years and been around some great coaches. And so that was obviously, you know, that's experience that other kids don't have. So it's a huge advantage. So, you know, I've never been intimidated in my life by any situation I've ever been in. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, growing up around Walter Payton, growing up around Randall Cunningham and, you know, Reggie White and all those type of guys. It just was a great experience, and one I think that gives you a huge advantage over people that never had, you know, were fortunate as I was to grow up in those circumstances.
Can you talk about Mark Sanchez's development? And I know you like the ground and pound and all that, but are you the type that would trust, you know, Mark Sanchez to win the game when it's on, like, if the running game is not working?
Oh, he's had as many fourth quarter comebacks over the last 2 years as any quarterback in this league. So I think that kind of goes unnoticed. What also goes unnoticed is that, you know, we played in more playoff games than any team in the league over a 2 year period. And I think when you have a young quarterback who's only played 2 years in this league, like this guy, of course we turn it over to him. You know, we've had to win a lot of games in the fourth quarter. The ball's in his hand. Our guys feel extremely confident that Mark's going to find a way to get it done. And, you know, he's been criticized a lot of times for maybe we don't start off super fast or whatever, but at the end of the game, he's usually at his best, and that's where I'd prefer it anyway.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home to the most live sports.
Hey Eagles fan, it's Dominique Rogers Cromartie, and I want to thank you for your support and have a happy holidays.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
they do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here with my Spud Cam, charging it up, getting ready to go for Sunday against the Jets, 4:15 on CBS. I look forward to seeing Phil Simms and company in here this week. He's always an interesting guy to talk to. Let's go back to the telephones. Alan in New York joins us. Hi, Alan.
Yo, Dave, what's going on, brother?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, man. I've been trying to call you since the Cardinals game, man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, man. I've been wired ever since.
Yeah. Well, are you better now?
I'm coming to get to the reality of things that, you know, we are what we are.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. A couple things I want.
5-8 is what we are here. Still can't get over
Dave,
that.
I just wanted to say a couple things, right?
Okay.
I know callers have been calling about our defense and everything else and Asante Samuel. I think, honestly, from what I've been seeing, Asante has been playing better than Nnamdi. I'm not going to say that, yo, he's not playing good, but when it comes down to the statistics of everything, Asante is playing a better ball game than he is.
Well, I can't measure how a cornerback is playing in terms of statistics, in terms of interceptions, for example. I don't know. I think they've both been playing pretty well, actually. I don't think the Eagles have been really hurt that much by wide receivers in this NFL game that we see every week where big points are put on the board. It's very difficult to stop passing offenses. I mean, look, I know Nnamdi's given up, what, two or three touchdowns this year. I think Asante's probably right in that same range.
To be honest with you, that pass to Brandon Marshall really kind of killed me. I'm not sure if there was a safety over the top that was supposed to cover that, but that didn't look good at all. He didn't look like he was in a good position to move his body the way he was supposed to.
Okay.
But that didn't look good at all. And honestly, Dave, let me just say one thing before I let you talk. In that particular play, I wanted to know if we were playing man coverage or zone.
In that particular instance, probably there was a man principle, and if you noticed on the play, Nate Allen was coming over the top to help, so there might have been a zone on the back end. I don't know if it was straight man. They don't really play a lot of straight man here.
And that's what kills me, Dave. And you know, and I know it kills you too, because there's a lot of goal line plays that we're able to stop, and I know we're able to stop, and we're playing zone coverage. I remember there was one play somebody blamed it on Kurt Coleman for not being in a position to make the tackle. But we had the 2-yard line. I forgot what team it was.
It was the Cardinals.
Yeah, Dave, we had the 2-yard line. Why are we not playing then?
Well, he was in perfect position to make that play.
Yeah, but he would have been in a better position if he was playing then, Dave.
I can't remember if the Eagles were playing man in that instance. I don't know.
Honestly, Dave, we're not a Chicago Bears. We don't got those kind of linebackers. We don't got those kind of defensive ends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Our scheme defensively is not good. It's not good at all.
Well, I'd rather speak of the positive this week. I mean, the Eagles are coming off a game in which they had a great defensive scheme, and they had 9 sacks, and they took the football away 3 times, and they limited the Dolphins to 10 points, 7 of which came after the Dolphins blocked a punt. So I personally would like to focus on the positive here. And at the end of the season, Alan, I know we'll evaluate the whole thing. And I admit, I agree, there have been challenges with the scheme this year at times. So, but in this instance, it's all about, you know, I'm going to say I enjoyed the win, and I'm going to try to be optimistic here this week and enjoy that feeling and hope that it just gets better and better.
Yep. And speaking of this weekend, this is the opportunity for Michael Vick to step it up. I see the Jets come from New York. I do watch the Jets a lot. They don't play good against the run anymore. They're very hurt. against the run.
Well, then if that's the case, then you're going to see the Eagles try to run the football.
Oh, yeah, and I would love to. How long? McCoy didn't play superb, but he played good enough for us to get that win last week against the Dolphins.
Yeah, McCoy was – listen, they were crashing the line of scrimmage. They were focused on him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has an opportunity to run the football on Sunday, the Eagles certainly will run the football with him on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait, Dave. I can't wait. How's Macklin doing?
Macklin was on the field this morning taking part in the walkthrough. That is a very, very positive sign.
A very positive sign. Yes. Great. Yes. Hopefully we get to see a little more Riley Cooper, because what I'm thinking is that the Jets are going to be more concerned about our 1-2 receivers. If we get Jason Avant and Riley Cooper in there, play 3 and 4, they're going to be kind of overwhelmed.
Well, we'll see. The first priority is to establish the line of scrimmage. I think Rex Ryan likes to bring a lot of pressure.
Pressure, he does.
And so Michael's going to have to see everything. He's going to have to get rid of the football quickly. Good decision making, and be accurate, and then gash the Jets a little bit, back them off. But if they're going to give you an opportunity to run the football, then you've got to run it with LeSean McCoy, no doubt.
And you know what? I like having the two tight end set on our offensive line. That really helps us out, but that eliminates some receivers up there.
Yeah. 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 Hey, give me a prediction for the game, Alan.
All right. I'm going to go with 13-21 Eagles.
21-13 Eagles. Alan, thanks, man.
Dave, you have a good one, huh?
You too. Glad you got through. Alan, thanks from New York. 215-339-6709. In a moment, we're going to go into the locker room. It's Jason Avant, Eagles wide receiver, impressed with the way things have, you know, kind of gone here these last couple of days. You take it day by day in the NFL, and Avant feeling confident after that win in Miami. Let's go into the locker room now and talk to number 81.
Darrell Reeves, you know him well. Mm-hmm. You've worked out with him. There's the corners who are good coverage, who are good tackle. Is he the best all-around corner you will face?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be facing them too much, but as far as being on the same field, I definitely believe that, you know, that he's, you know, one of the best in the game, if not the best. It's an argument. You can make an argument anyway for a couple guys, and you can make an argument for Namdi and for a couple different guys. So, but he's definitely in the upper echelon of corners in this league, and he's a complete player.
Because you've worked out with mm-hmm. him on a number of occasions, what makes him so complete?
I think that you know, his ability to be patient is his biggest asset. Usually, when you have guys that are fast and that are quick, most DBs are kind of frantic and they panic in their stands. But he's real calm, knows he's the best, so he sit there and wait on you to declare your move, and he's still in front of you.
When did you work out with him?
This is maybe two, three years ago. This is, you know, off season Donovan McNabb stuff, but he was good then. He was good when I played him his rookie year, and he's just a great talent, you know. And I think that he's a great pro.
Could you help us to get open? Yes.
I think all things are definitely achievable. You got to go out with your A game. For guys in this locker room, you will not have a better opportunity to play the game. This is what you play the game for. You play the game and play against the best players. And so I think it's a great challenge for us as receivers, but also just for our team. It's like playing the bullies. You know, they run the ball at you, and they're going to line up and play man-to-man. So it's like playing the bullies, your big brother. So that's what it's like for us.
Do you have to show, you think, the same sort of effort and passion you guys showed in Miami to finish this out the right way?
We're just trying to get a win this week. We ain't worrying about, you know, down the line. I think that we got to have more, you know, effort, more passion, more productivity, and more focus and concentration as the games go by. And especially this week, they're good on special teams, they're good on offense, they're good on defense. They're a complete team. AFC championships, what, 3 years in a row, 2 years in a row? That's not something that's you know, given to you, that's earned, and we have to go out and play a game that we have to beat them. They're not going to give it to us.
How much are you going to be watching what Dallas and the Giants do? I mean, they play before you guys. Obviously, they play before you guys even take the field Sunday. So how much are you going to be watching what everyone else is doing?
you only can control what you control. I don't sit there and look at games before I play a game too much. I'm not that guy. Especially a 4 o'clock game, you don't have to, I'm not really worried about what they do. We can only control what we can control, and we got to have our mindset right. And no matter what, and whether both of them win, we still want to go out and play a quality team, and it's a great opportunity to play a quality team.
Did you know if both of them win, though, you're out of the playoff scenario?
No, they're not.
I thought they were.
Wow. Okay. I'm not necessarily even worried about any of the situations that are going on. We just got to focus on what we got to do. We're not playing this game to look at other people. We're playing to get better every week.
Thank you.
John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking. He's being chased. He gets out of the way. He runs. He pumps. He fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access. Redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Grossman in the shotgun, and also Cooley, who makes the catch, and he is belted down. What a hit by Asamoah. Cooley made the catch in the flat, and Asamoah just leveled him for a 2-yard loss. What a play by Asamoah.
He makes the catch, but he didn't net very much.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Nnamdi Asamoah, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Smartphones and tablets. I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
This year, our calendar shoot was here in Philadelphia and also out in Sweetwater Farms in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania. And it was really cool because I got to be out on the Glen Mills Sweetwater Farm. And there they had horses, they had goats, and it was a winery. So it was really cool just to be out in our own territory and get to shoot and have like that exciting feeling of being with a photographer and everyone else that's helping coordinate the whole shoot. The bathing suits that we wore were San Lorenzo, and they were eco-friendly. So that was really nice. And we also got to bring in our own eco-friendly jewelry or our coordinator got it for us, so it was really cool just to kind of be a whole part of the shoot too. And mine was a nice cyan blue, so I really loved that because it made my eyes pop.
Okay.
Everyone shot. We did a lot of girls coming in 2 days. So normally when we're on our location calendar shots, it might be 5 girls in a day. And they have a little bit more time to take a shot, get ready, get your hair ready. This year we had a lot of girls and we were very efficient to get everyone done in 2 days. And shots went really quickly. Once one girl was done, the next girl was up. They were at the next location. So it was very efficiently moving this year. What's going to be different about our calendar is it's going to be an application. So all the footage that's shot from the calendar shoot, like the background of the shots, is going to be right there on your phone so you can watch it anytime you want.
Besides, you know, all of the hard work and being known as the Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader, I came into the squad. I love to dance. So I came into the squad saying, you know, this is the epitome of dancing. Like, you know, whoever is a dancer out there, you would want to dance professionally for an NFL team. It's great. But besides, you know, like I said, being known as Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader, I mean, you really do get to meet a lot of great people. I mean, it's great for socializing, you know, because you do get to network, etc. But you also, you know, do so many charitable events. And I remember last year we had an event at the CHOP Hospital in Philadelphia, and it was amazing. I mean, we interacted with the little kids there, and they were such big fans. And just to really make a difference and to really be able to speak and to really reach out to those, you know, who looks up to you. And it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. And, you know, anytime that I do appearances with kids or, you know, I really try to give them that encouragement to let them know that, you know, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. And I've always wanted to do that. And, you know, for me being in this position, it actually allows me to have a bigger voice to actually go out there and, you know, really, you know, give that advice to young people today.
I think it's really nice to see the little kids that look up to you, like our junior cheer clinic. You know, these little kids will remember you forever. They'll say, you know, maybe that little girl will become an Eagles cheerleader one day and say, you know, I was at a junior cheer clinic and this girl really stood out to me, or she really helped me or made me feel comfortable. Because some of these kids can be really young and, you know, they're away from their parents for a little while and they're nervous. But if you can make their day, I think that's just such a blessing. And I know I wouldn't have that opportunity anywhere else.
It is a must-have. That is the Eagles Cheerleader Calendar app. The Eagles Cheerleader app. Go get it. It's available for Android phones soon, we hope, for the iPhone as well. All right? Let's get back to the telephones here. Let's talk to Chris in New York. Hello, Chris.
Dave, how are you?
Good afternoon, sir. What's going on?
Nothing much. Calling to say I enjoyed that clip of the 91 Eagles defense.
Yeah, really, really, that's the way defense you ideally want to be played, just so physical, so confident. And the key, they had been together for such a long time and had shown flashes of greatness under Buddy Ryan. And then when Bud Carson came in, he just perfected that scheme and let it all loose. And they rotated at safety because they had Andre was gone, he was injured, Wes Hopkins had some injuries, so Miano and John Booty and Otis Smith. These were not star players, but they worked with that scheme, the front seven, really dominant.
Yeah, I mean, that's the team that kind of made me, a hardcore Eagles fan forever, I'd like
cool.
to say.
Cool, man.
You know, I'd just like to say, I hope we give the Jets a nice beating, because one thing worse than a Giants fan here in New York is the Jets.
No doubt about it. What's your feeling on the Jets? I haven't really seen a whole lot of them this year.
You know, they're an up-and-down team this year. You know, they get a good pass. It's weird. They're having trouble stopping a run. They're not getting a good pass rush. But right about now, they're really running the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, they tend to peak at the right time, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Rex Ryan really gets the team, like I said, peaking at the right time. But right now, the running game, to me, is more of an issue than the passing game.
For them? You're more concerned with their run game.
Oh, yeah, without a question, yeah. They want to run the ball. I mean, that's their theory. They're going to pound and ground and play solid defense.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so it'll be interesting. I'm interested to see what guy Revis covers.
Does he stay on one side, Chris, or does he go follow receivers?
Oh, he'll follow receivers, depending on the receiver. Like, if it's a big number one, like Andre Johnson, Steve Johnson, he'll follow him all the way around. But Cromartie is more of the speed cornerback.
Okay.
So I might see him on Jackson whole game just because of speed matchup. But
okay.
It'll be interesting.
Give me your prediction.
I'm going to have to say the Eagles 23, the Jets 16.
Okay. Close game.
You know, they're always going to be close now.
Need a
the
win.
Eagles will win.
Yeah, Eagles need a win at home.
Yeah, and you know what? Another thing, too, I'd like to see the Eagle fans, in a sense, will the team to win as opposed to, you know, I think in Miami, after the game, all they could talk about was the fans and how the fans really helped them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in Philadelphia, you know, the first bad play, don't get on the team. I mean, I know what they feel. But, you know,
well, you know how it's gone here, and you know how the media are. Some are trying to stir it up.
Yep.
I don't think that helps the football team at all.
I think if they were home and they had that block punt to start the game off,
yeah,
I think it would have just been a downward turn just because of all the negativity in the building.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, I agree with you. Let's have it positive on Sunday, and let's hope the Eagles get off to a good start to give the fans something positive to get behind. So that's kind of the goal. That's kind of the goal that I see. Hey, Chris, thanks so much for the phone call.
Eagles, Doug.
You got it, my friend. Thanks. All right, let's go back in the locker room. Talk about the defense. We start at the middle linebacker position. Jamar Chaney knows Sean Green's coming off a huge day. Mark Sanchez playing very well last week against the Colts. A big day for the Jets last week. Eagles expecting to see a New York offense clicking on all cylinders.
On tape from this Jets offense?
Very physical, you know, offense. They run the ball a lot. And they short passing game, big physical receiving Plaxico. So, I mean, you can't focus too much on, you know, put everything against a run because, you know, they just go over the top with guys like they have. And probably one of the most athletic tight ends we've seen this year outside, you know, the guys from New England.
Well, what do you see with them in the red zone? They're the number one team in the league inside the red zone. 12 straight trips in there, they've scored touchdowns. Anything that sticks out on film about why they're so successful inside that 20?
I mean, they got a receiver that's 6'5", 230, 240 pounds. And then, you know, when you have a good tight end and then you have a balance, a real good running game, I mean, that's pretty much all the things you would like to have in the red zone. Big physical back, big physical offensive line. And a receiver that can just go up for fade balls and a good target in the red zone as a tight end. So all those things. Then you factor in the point they use that wildcat formation a lot too. So they got a lot of stuff they can do down there.
What's the biggest thing you took out of Sunday's game down there in Miami that you hope carries through these final three games tomorrow?
Just playing with consistency. That's the main thing we haven't been doing this year was playing the whole game consistent. You could talk about stopping a run or, you know, a pass or pass rush, but the main thing for us is making sure we can play four quarters of football and not just, you know, showing little spurts here and there.
Was that the way this defense was designed to get the lead, get after the quarterback, and force them into those situations when you guys can tee off?
Yeah, anytime you have a front four like ours, you want to get them to where a team has to throw the ball, and for you can let those eight guys, you know, get after the quarterback and let, you know, Nam DeSant and Kurt and Nate do what they do in cover. So anytime you can do that, that's what make those guys, those pass rushers. I mean, that's what Trent them like to do. So that's the situation we'd be trying to get in.
Performances like Sunday when you had the sacks, the turnovers that you create, that, do you scratch your head and ever ask, you know, where that was all season, Jamar?
Man, you wonder, but like I said, it's consistency. I mean, we show spurts. I mean, we do it pretty much every game, but it ain't last the whole game. It might last for a quarter, two quarters, even three quarters. But then, you know, one quarter we don't go out there and do what we're supposed to do, and that's when the team, you know, usually score the most points on us that quarter.
Do they run behind Mangold a lot in the middle, and does that put a little pressure on you in the middle?
From the runs I see, they run behind the fullback a lot. You know, they have a real good fullback back there, Connor, and pretty much all the offensive linemen look pretty good on film. They got a pretty good zone scheme. And then, like I said, they're a real physical bunch. Big offensive line. I mean, Mango's a real big center, you know, so they do a good job of what they do. I mean, and it helps that they got a real big back there with Sean Green running the ball. I mean, he's short and he's like 230 pounds, so you see him break a lot of tackles.
You expect them to stick to what they do best, which is try to, you know, run and run again between the tackles?
Yeah, anytime you got a defense like theirs, you want to make sure, you know, you play into your defense hands, and when you got a good defense, you're gonna feed, you know, Sean Green. I mean, they've been playing pretty good these last couple of weeks, and that's because, you know, he's been back and they've been feeding him the ball.
Really, truly a lot of respect, Eagles and the Jets. You heard earlier Rex Ryan speaking glowingly about the Eagles, and you will not hear the Eagles speaking anything but with respectful tones about the Jets, because the Jets may not look pretty all the time, but they win, they get in the playoffs, and then they have made some very nice and very substantial playoff runs, and they should do the same in the AFC this year, should they make the playoffs. Now, we want them to lose this week and then win next week against the Giants. All right, let's go to Mike in the Bay Area calling in. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Dave? How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Good morning out there. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm good. Doing really good, man. Just want to always thank you. I've been an Eagles fan for forever, man. I remember when you used to just, you know, we didn't have any video, and
yeah,
you used to just write like 15 years ago. Andy Harmon, Kevin Turner, all of
sure.
those used to write
sure,
about.
Man.
So,
Eagles Digest, you. Eagles Digest, do the house.
I've never actually subscribed to Eagles Digest, but I used to read you, man. Thanks. Know, every other week, you know, to be at least something like that, and always appreciated
the website in 1997 was called EaglesNet.com.
Yep.
And I remember John Gruden was hired to be the head coach of the Raiders, and like 3 months went by, and the website still said John Gruden was the offensive coordinator here. So I sent an email and I said, "Can I run the website?" And nobody. Back then, nobody cared. And
really?
Here we are. Yeah, no. Back in 97, 98, it was still this concept. And then very quickly, it became a major source of information for the fans, a destination for the fans. The WWW World Wide Web came into being. So I'm not saying that I created the internet. I'll leave a little bit of credit to that.
I think Al Gore took that one.
Yeah, Al Gore gets that credit. I'll take the I discovered global warming and the internet.
All good, man. Well, hey, I know you've got a lot of say, and I know you understand a lot of what goes on in the organization.
Yes.
And you kind of give a lot of the fan feedback, you know. And I'm concerned, man, because I know I heard you talk about a week ago, Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson, and you didn't say it real loud or anything like that, but you really mentioned that you thought Maclin was a better receiver. You're pretty.
Yeah, I believe as a total player, blocker, physical size, speed. I mean, they're both great, but I and Maclin was on pace prior to the injuries midway through the season of catching 90 plus passes. I just think he's a tremendous player. I think they're both great. If I had to pick one, I personally would probably pick Maclin, but I would love to, I hope to keep both of them.
You know, I'm real concerned by that, Dave, you know, and it's kind of going back years past. He's kind of a receiver we've had in the past where he's got great speed, and I love Maclin. As a kid, you can just see he's a great person, you know, and all of that. But we've always played best when we had a game changer,
yeah.
You know, with our game changers. And so it's funny because he actually reminds me a lot of Chris Todd Jones. We talked a lot about those old school Eagles, 1996 and, you know, way back in 97. Chris Todd Jones actually who he reminds me a lot of. He can catch a lot of passes, and I give him a lot of credit for that. He's really good, solid receiver. But when you take him off the field, or you take Jackson off the field, you know, he's Chris Todd Jones.
Well, but when you take Maclin off the field, Deshaun's not as effective
oh,
either.
No, we killed it. Did you remember the game we played? I forgot who it was a couple weeks ago, and Maclin was out, and Jackson had just came back, and that was Jackson and Riley Cooper. I mean, that's used to, but we had been
what,
there when Jackson was out.
What, the Giants game when they scored 17 points?
You can't really count the games. I mean, all credit to Vince Young for, you know, the situation he's in and what he tried to do. But you can't really count it as well with, you know, the offense isn't going to be the same with Vince Young. There was a game we played. I think Vince Young actually was the quarterback.
Maclin missed the Giants, the Patriots, the Seahawks game, and then played limited against the Dolphins. So in none of those games did the Eagles offense light it up.
It was the game. Remember the game where Deshaun got sat at the very end of it?
Got what at the very end of it?
He got sat. Coach sat him down at the very end of the game.
Oh, was that the Patriots? That may have been the Patriots game.
Okay. Well you know, DeSean Jackson made big plays. I mean, it was obvious. And he was open in the end zone. He dropped one. You know, he made a couple plays where he dropped. He was wide open. And you could see that there were plays being made. But Jackson was making plays that Macklin wasn't making those kind of plays. He wasn't open the way Deshaun Jackson was.
Well, Deshaun,
I mean, everybody.
Listen, I'm not gonna. I don't want to talk bad about either one of them. I think they're both tremendous players.
Right.
And I'm glad they're both here. Now, what happens in the future? I really don't know.
I'd like to kind of, because I know you have the opinion of the fans, and you have an opinion. And the organization, it's a great organization. They do hear that. And yeah. I just want to make sure that, at least, you know, from the West Coast, if I could say it as loud as I can, you really can't compare the two. I mean, I understand your argument, and I can actually go with you in terms of overall. There's a lot of things that Macklin maybe can do that Jackson can't do, and it, you know, involves going over the middle, and maybe he's more consistent at even catching a lot of the more simple passes. But when you talk about our Eagle offense and when our Eagle offense has truly been great, you know, we had, as much as we all hate T.O. or don't like T.O. when he was, you know, in Philadelphia, we've never been as productive as we were.
No question.
Know, when you had
not Deshaun true, actually. Jackson. Actually, it's not true. It's actually not true.
Well, yeah,
and if you look at
this year,
no, but if you look at, but I mean, statistically, I think in the red zone, no comparison. Eagles, when T.O. was here, tremendously productive. But actually, you know, I remember doing these stories back then, 2002, 2003, Eagles scored more points, and they based their offense, it was just a different kind of offense. They based it around Brian Westbrook and, to a degree, Chad Lewis, and mixed in some Todd Pinkston and James Thrash, and the receivers weren't that good. But look, if your point is that you want the Eagles organization to understand that the fans love Deshaun Jackson and they want him.
No, that's what I don't want them to understand. I think that a lot of people get caught into the emotion because he's an emotional player,
mm-hmm.
and he's brought us a lot of highs and brought us a lot of lows. But I say that's actually the opposite of what I'm saying. I don't want people to get caught in the emotion. Whether you like him or whether you don't like him, the Eagles' offense is much more explosive. It's a better offense as a whole with Deshaun Jackson than it is without Deshaun Jackson.
Agreed. And it's the same goes for Jeremy. But I mean,
No, it's not the same. The thing is that Macklin is an effective receiver, but if you put somebody else in Macklin's spot with Jackson on the other side, I mean, every defensive coordinator, you know, you talk about consensus or two players on the side of Jackson, you can't cover both one guy.
But I hear you, but Mike, it's, I mean, when Jeremy has not played, the offense hasn't been as effective.
Well, he only hasn't played when
Vic wasn't
in there. So, you can't really. I mean, I think you can agree. It wasn't the same when Vince was in. Nothing against Vince Young, but it really wasn't the same. If you look at the big plays that were made, I mean, really the beginning of the season, the offense was incredible minus the turnovers. Look about the game versus the 49ers when Deshaun Jackson was, I mean, he was killing them.
Well, but
you think about the game versus Buffalo.
You know, the game in Atlanta, but Macklin had 13 catches, 5 catches against New York. Seven
them,
catches against San Francisco.
Most of them short and intermediate. Yeah. When we had 3-step drops going to Vic. But remember, on the other side, two people were covering Deshaun Jackson.
Okay. Hey, listen, they're both fine players. Mike, do you want Deshaun Jackson back? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah. But I want you to kind of understand why. I think if you really look at
it. I want him back too, but I just, if, and again, you're not going to be able to go out there and pay Deshaun Jackson, as I see it, I don't know, money at the very top of the wide receiver food chain when you've then, so that's one, and then you've got Jeremy Macklin coming out and his contract's up in a year or two. You can't do it. You can't make these guys the two of the five highest paid wide receivers in the game. You'll never be able to afford anything else. You've also got LeSean McCoy, whose contract is coming. I mean, you're going to have to make decisions. If you can give Deshaun great money, but not the top of the food chain money, that's fair. Same with Macklin.
Let's talk about that real quick if we can.
Sure.
Because if you have to, basically what you're saying is if you have to choose between the two, because it's not just that you can offer Jackson pretty good money, sign him, and also sign Macklin pretty good money. Either you're going to sign Deshaun Jackson to a number near what he wants, or you're going to sign Macklin. So you're going to have to choose between the two. And if you're going to choose between the two, I'm saying that Macklin is actually easier to replace than Deshaun Jackson. That's pretty much what I'm saying. And so I would love to, I would much rather prefer see them sign Jackson than Macklin. Now, I understand, but I don't like Drew Rosenhaus. I think that he gets his players in a lot of trouble because instead of putting them in a good situation, he always tries to go for top dollar, no matter if that's in Oakland or in Arizona or wherever the heck it is. And so he's a shark, and we all figured out exactly who he is as a person during the T.O. situation.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But I think that they do need to pay a little extra and understand the fact that he's one of the best punt returners in the game. And so when everybody talks about him as a wide receiver being worth eight, you know, maybe a little over $8 million versus the $10 million some of the greats are having, I think you got to factor in the same time that he is a punt returner and he also is a dynamic playmaker. So I think that, you know, with all that being said, and I think the last thing too is you don't really see, as much as I love the organization, and I truly, you know, I think you know that I'm a passionate fan and all that, we really have never valued our players, and we've paid outside players. What do you talk about, Javon Kearse?
No, that's not accurate at all. That is not accurate at all. Which player have the Eagles not valued? Which of their own players have the Eagles not valued?
Let me say this. No team over the past Andy Reid's tenure has had more contract disputes that I can recall with their own players.
Well, I would probably disagree with that. But I would tell you that no team has signed more players to second and third contracts. You want to have a contract dispute? Who do you want to have it about? You want to have it about Brian Dawkins? He had three contracts here. Brian Westbrook.
No.
Brian Westbrook had what? Two or three contracts here. Trey Thomas, three contracts here.
Let's talk about that. Lito Shepard, contract dispute.
But he signed. And then he left here. What did he do? What did he do when he left here? What's Sheldon Brown done? He's been an okay player, but
No. That's a different point. When we sign these guys to these contracts, these second contracts, we usually sign them
early,
either second or third year.
Okay.
We sign them to a contract that ends up not being favorable for them later. It's still a good move by the Eagles. It's a smart move and X, Y, and Z. And it shows some, you know,
some
they
vision.
Care about the players and want to keep. Yeah, it shows some vision. It's great cap management. But at the same time, you end up with players that are unhappy.
And you know what, Mike? I think players who sign their contract and then they're unhappy 5 years later, I don't have time for them, okay? Because they got all the money up front. And then were they complaining then that they were being overpaid? No.
I agree with you, Dave. But let's talk about winning real fast. So kind of what's happened, a bit of what's happened this year is that you had unhappy players, you know, and part of it is due
where, here now?
Yeah.
Who's unhappy? Deshaun, I understand. Who else besides Deshaun?
Why would Asante
possibly be unhappy?
Because they wanted to trade him. They tried to trade him, and they didn't. And then he said, you know, if they are tired of me making big plays, you know, they want to get
If Asante's unhappy, he has no reason to be. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I guess we're kind of leaving the
player. You're taking the side of the player in every instance, and I'm taking more of the side of the management, obviously, because I see what management's trying to do. They made Asante Samuel the highest-paid cornerback in the league. You want to make your defense better. So you bring in, would you rather have Dimitri Patterson playing the right cornerback position? No.
No, the
one person who was unhappy about the whole thing was I don't even know how unhappy it is.